That's all he told. It's good to be back to Rich Lands again. Okay. Is it on? Okay. It's good to be back to Rich Lands again. We hadn't been here since the camp meeting. I believe it was 1977. And we're just so thankful to get to come back this time and to be in service again and see a lot of great improvements around here. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate what I've heard and felt and seen since I've been here at this meeting this year. I'm really encouraged with our preaching. I really am. I didn't get to go to the Bristol camp meeting this year, but someone got some tapes and brought back to me. And the preaching that I heard was tremendous. I'm encouraged in our young preachers that's doing such a fine job that's coming on. Amen. Even in a world of discouragement when the church feels like nothing's going right, I believe God's raising up some young men, and I appreciate it. In the book of Isaiah, I got to hurry and get through my 30 minutes. That was the first time I'd ever been here. I didn't know what to do. Somebody told me, I thought I had expected you here, and with these mountain men back here, I figured you'd better preach what they tell you, and I really did think you had to preach an hour. I never preached an hour in my life. I don't ever preach that long since. But Isaiah chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Isaiah 2 and verse number 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
All right.
Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to preach this morning for just a little bit on they shall learn war no more. I've always been interested in the military, even from a very young man. I loved it. Matter of fact, before I was saved, my plans were to join the United States Army. And, of course, I got saved, and the Lord changed all that and called me to preach. And like I say, I've always been interested in the military. It's always fascinated me. And though I'm interested in it and I like it, I'm not a nut over it. I mean, I don't wear fatigues around the house or nothing like that, you know, or combat boots to work. But I am interested in it. The peak buildup, I've got some wars here I want to relate to you and some statistics. In the Vietnam War, the lasted 11 years. The peak buildup of soldiers was 543,400. The Korean War lasted 3 years. 327,000 men went to that war. World War II lasted 3 2/3 years. 11,800,000 men went to that war. In World War I, lasted a year and a half. 2,400,000 men went to that war. In the Vietnam War, the casualties was 45,619. I have heard up to 56,000 casualties. There was wounded 302,393 men in the Vietnam War. In the Korean War, there was 33,629 men killed, 103,284 wounded. In the World War II, 291,000 men, 557. They were killed, 670,846 was wounded. World War II, there was 53,402 men killed and 204,002 men wounded. The direct cost of war, Vietnam War, cost $120 billion. The Korean War, $17 billion. World War II, $341 billion. And World War I, $26 billion. And war has been something that we've been acquainted with throughout the years of time. But I read in Isaiah where they shall learn war no more. Vietnam War was an interesting war to me because I knew people that went. I had a brother-in-law that went to the Vietnam War, and he never would talk about it much, but one day when it was storming, and believe it or not, it's storming in Oklahoma. And we was out there one day, and everybody else went to the cellar, and we was talking there, and he began to tell me some of his experiences in war. He had two brothers killed in the Vietnam War. He was shot down three different times. The last time, got him good. He's got a steel plate in his head. He's a disabled veteran. He has headaches all the time. He has a lot of problems. And war has been something that we've been known about and we've been affected by throughout the years. And war is something that you and I this morning, that when we think about it, we look at it and we think, why war? Why? But you know, I'm glad for the promise in Isaiah where they shall learn war no more. Now, I want us to go, stay right with me now. I want to go back here to the Lord's Prayer. And he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is an old Anglo-Saxon word which means holiness is thy name. You never make a mistake is your name. That's what hallowed means. And that's what Jesus was praying here. And he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we've tried everything in this world to try to, have governments. We've tried human governments. We've tried political science, and that hasn't worked. We tried monarchies where, you know, a king rules, and that doesn't work. We've tried dictatorships like, Castro and like Hitler and Gaddafi. They don't work. They don't work. Different rules we've tried. We've tried oligarchies where a few people rule. We've tried communism, it doesn't work. We've tried fascism, that doesn't work. We've tried democracy, and though it's the best that you can have, democracy, though we have democracy, yet we still have hate, we have crime, we have poverty, we have evil on every hand. But wait a minute. Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Someday we will have a theocracy, and that's where God rules and where God reigns. Hallelujah. And so you see, when that time comes, there will be no need of any more wars. They shall study war no more. Hallelujah. Thank God in Matthew 24 and verse 37, the Bible said, as the lightning shineth from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, yes. You know, storms always come from the west to the east. Amen. And meteorologists say that when you see a storm coming, you know, it always comes from the west to the northwest, and it goes to the east. But the Bible said, as the lightning shining from the east to the west, then shall the coming of the Son of Man be. All right. Meteorologists say that when you begin to see the lightning shine from the east to the west, then you know the storm is over. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When his kingdom comes and his will be done, I want you to know the storms of war will be over. They shall learn war no more. There'll never be another casualty. There'll never be another conflict. Amen. When that thousand-year reign is set up. Hallelujah. Back in 1972, I went on wheat harvest as a young man. Never been out of the state of Oklahoma in all of my life. 16 years old before I've got a state of Oklahoma. Finally went on wheat harvest, and we got to go on different places, and we stopped by in Pikes Peak, Colorado, and we looked around there at that great Air Force Academy, and I looked at that Air Force Academy. Every line was painted. Everything was clean. I walked in that beautiful church they have there. Oh, it's so beautiful, so wonderful. Everything was neat. Everything was right. But I want you to know they will have no need of the Air Force Academy during this time. They'll be shut down. Hallelujah. West Point will seize. They will have no need of a West Point. They'll have no need of Fort all the forts in the world. You know, I went to Fort Knox the other day, and I looked through that great place, that armored division of our country. I looked at those tanks, and I seen the armor that men had put together, such a machine, where even airplanes that came and shot this armor and just barely made a scratch on it. War, you see, we're geared to war. Russia spends over 50% of their money on war. Israel spends over 50% of their money on war, on warheads and fighting equipment. But brother and sister, there's coming a day when the Bible said they shall learn war no more. Hallelujah. As I looked through that in Fort Knox there, I looked and I saw that great General Patton, as they had a movie on him and showed him standing there walking among his troops tall and proud, amen, and going about the war zone and encouraging them to fight on and fight on and fight on. Yeah. Oh, brother, I want you to know there's going to be a greater general come, amen, that's going to put one foot on the land and the other on the sea. Hallelujah. And they'll know war no more, thank God. Yeah. Yes, sir, friend, they'll have no need of Fort Knox. They'll have no need of the Fort Steel Army base there in Oklahoma. Our Altus Air Force base down there, Brother Billy Ray. They'll see someday, because there's coming a time, brother, when God shall reign, and they shall study war no more. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thank God. Brother, the storms of life will be over. As the lightning shineth from the east to the west, then shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They shall study war no more. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, yes, sir. There won't be no need of studying war. There won't be nothing there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what a peaceful time that's going to be? If you can just put in your mind this morning, imagine how the lions will lay down beside the lamb, and the children will play among the beasts, and they'll not be harmed. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to think about that. In this world of sorrow, in this world of pain, just a few weeks ago, I had a devastating thing happen to me. I had a real good friend in Indianapolis, Indiana. He was a songwriter and a singer, and he was a good boy. Amen. A lot of people don't like bluegrass and singing through your nose, but I like it. Amen. My wife don't like it, but I like it. And I had a dear friend that sung that bluegrass music, him and his dad and his brother. And on a Sunday, I talked to him, and we was planning on seeing him the next Sunday, and he's singing up the road there, and was going to go see him. We was all excited. But little did I know that on Wednesday night, when he went down to the hardware store, he'd never come home. And someone robbed him and killed him there in Indianapolis and left a little boy and a little girl behind. Brother, sorrow sometimes grips our hearts. Amen. Discouragement sometimes overwhelms us and overtake us. Sometimes we feel like David in the book of Psalms chapter 77, when David said, "My soul ran in the night." He wept all night long. He couldn't find God. And sometimes we feel like that we can't get above these trials and tribulations that the world produces and the church produces. But I'm telling you, church, if we'll hold on, there's going to come a time when the light is going to shine from the east to the west, and the coming of the Son of Man is going to be. And when King Jesus comes to live with us again, He's going to establish righteousness where God reigns, where God rules. Hallelujah. Brother, if that ain't enough to make you happy,
to read where they shall study war no more, learn war no more. Amen. Where everything's going to cease, they're going to shut everything down. When every great power is going to stand back in awe. And when the peace of God fills this earth. Amen. If Satan's bound 1,000 years, the only thing any better than I know than that is what I read in Revelation 21:4, where the Bible said there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, neither will there be crying. We'll never weep again. Amen. We'll never grieve again. Praise God. There's coming a time, friend, when you and I will live, brother, in a place where will be nothing but joy and peace and wonderful life.
Glory to God. Come on, brethren.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. The storms of left, the storms of death will be over. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. That means cancer's got to go. Cancer's got to cease. I say nearly everyone in this building today is either directly or indirectly has lost family through cancer, through death.
That's right.
I never will forget back when I was just a teenage boy and away from God. My oldest brother was saved. Only child out of 13 children was saved. Pastor of Assembly of God Church. Had a little girl at 7 years old. My little girl soon be 7. She's blonde hair, blue eyes. My little niece is blonde hair, blue eyes. And she contacted leukemia. And she contacted this leukemia, and it looked like it just was taking her so quick. She lost her hair through treatment, and they put a little wig on her. But you know, even though she was sick and dying, she'd go to church and stand up by her daddy. And she's saying, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. And did you know that when she, right before she passed away, she was so sick, my brother would come to the church. I found out later, before I was ever saved now, he'd come to church and pray, and she'd lay on the altar so sick and so sorrowful and so much pain, but she'd lay there as her daddy prayed, as her daddy prayed. But did you know that when she passed away, I went to that funeral as a pallbearer. Unsaved young teenage boy. I looked and there my brother stood up by her casket. There my sister-in-law stood up by her casket. And there they was greeting people as they come by. I said, man, how can they do this? In my heart, I thought, how can they do this? How can they able to? You see, they had God and I didn't. They had God and I didn't have God. That was in October of 1971. In December of 71 is when I got saved. My brother, in the meantime, had contacted cancer. And he was dying with cancer at the time that his own daughter died. And brother and sister, I want you to know that when he was dying, he come back to the church without his daughter this time. His daughter, he laid his daughter to rest. He walked back into church like he always did. He come down to pray like he always did. And he come down to pray, but oh, he felt a terrible spirit come in behind him. And the devil began to talk to him and said, Glenn, said, you've lost your little girl with leukemia. Now you're dying with cancer. Don't tell me you're going to serve God through it all. Brother, you know what my brother did? He done the right thing. He turned around and pointed his finger at Satan and pleaded the blood of Jesus and commanded him to leave that church. He heard the door shut when he left the building. Hallelujah. But brother, there I was. I remember just a young Christian. I got saved. And then March of 72, my brother got bad. He was dying with cancer. And I went there in his hospital room, and me and two other brothers had just got saved, and he was encouraging us, boys, go on, live for God, live for God. And that very night, his life was taken through cancer. And friend, I look at that, and sometimes people say, well, I don't see any reason I've got to live for God, for the trials are so heavy, amen, and tribulations are so strong. I've got something to go to heaven for, brother. I said, I've got something to go to heaven for, amen, and when the Lord comes, the storms of cancer will be over. And someday, amen, when that trumpet sounds over there in that little cemetery, there's my brother in that in that cemetery with his picture on the tombstone. Amen. It says, as God are waiting on the trumpet, and next to him is his daughter called, and they put on their God's little soldier. One of these days, the man that's waiting on the trumpet and God's little soldier is going to unite again, and there'll be no cancer there, nor sorrow, nor death, nor pain. Brother, they'll be as whole as they ever was, and even better. I tell you what, I thank God this morning that we've got a promise that someday there'll be peace again. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Let's just stand and worship God here. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Lord, have your way this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to be so good this time, I'm going to give that other brother 40 minutes.
That's good.